Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 198. Excited to have Dave Foreman with us today. Dave's been a friend for a long time, has done a great job. He's the head strength coach at Virginia Military Institute. He's been at Colorado, San Jose State, Stanford, JMU, a handful of other places, and got to know him through the years and just think that he does a fantastic job. You know, in this episode, we talk about the unique challenges that present themselves at a military institution, you know, how he addresses those challenges into what is a typical training day for him. And then we talk a little bit about, you know, just the challenges of this business and how it's a journeyman's career and path that typically is taken, and how he's been able to deal with the ups and the downs and all the ebb and flow of strength and conditioning. And so there's tons of great content in this episode. I know you're going to enjoy it. Before we do, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsor for this episode, InTech Strength. Just got a big delivery from InTech. Wanted to make sure we had some equipment in our facility here at the house for my kids and my wife and I to train on. We got a Olympic bar. We got a 20-kilo needle bearing bar, which I absolutely love and been training with for the last couple of days. We got a trap bar, functional trap bar, that's really pretty cool. It's got an opening on one end, so it makes it a lot more functional to be able to do, you know, rear foot elevated with load or, you know, a lot of different exercises that you can do. And then they added some bumpers in as well that, you know, they just do a great job. And that's what they're all about. I mean, they're creating great products. And Jason and Hank and everybody at InTech is just fantastic people. Got a chance to get to know them through the summits, you know, this year so far, and just really impressed by them as a whole. And so if you have not followed them on social, make sure you do that. If you're in the market for bars, bumpers, you know, InTech, and they do a fantastic job, and they've been doing it at a high level for a long period of time. So I'd encourage you to check them out and see what they can do for you. So check out InTech Strength on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And just let them know how much you appreciate them being a part of the show. Lastly, Play Summits. You know, the next couple of summits that we have up. I mean, Australia was awesome. Indianapolis was incredible. We have Atlanta coming up here pretty soon, right? You know, Woodstock at our corporate office, which is going to be fantastic. We got some great speakers there. Baltimore is going to be at the Under Armour headquarters on March 25th. So March 18th at Woodstock, March 25th in Baltimore. And then the next one up after that is a mastermind in Denver that we're really excited about at Lauren Lando's place. That's going to be a deep dive into speed and agility. We got Dan Paff, Jimmy Radcliffe, Derek Hansen, Brett Bartholomew, Lauren, myself, and just a great group of speakers. And I'm real excited just to get in and roll my sleeves up with everybody else that will be attending and developing a solid 12-week program, which is what we're doing. It's a workshop type of format. So Atlanta, Baltimore, and Denver, the next three up. Make sure you're checking those out. If you're in any of those areas, go to playsummits.com and register there or learn more there. Want to get to this episode with Dave. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. Excited to have a buddy, Jay Foreman, with us today. Dave's the head strength coach at Virginia Military Institute. And Dave, well, shoot, it's been probably, what, maybe almost close to 10 years that we've known each other, spoken at some conferences together. Just an all-around great guy, man. I appreciate you being on the show, brother.
Ron, thank you. I'm so honored. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Dave, for everybody that is maybe just meeting you for the first time, let's do the quick Reader's Digest version of where you've been, what got you into it, kind of how you've gotten to Virginia Military.
So I grew up in New York City, and honestly, this is the only thing I've ever wanted to do in my life. I'm about to be 38 here shortly, so I was, you know, pre-internet, and I don't honestly know how I found out what even a strength coach is. You know, there was no Google search back then. There was no internet back then. Back then we had a big brown book that you thumb through to pick your major, right? Barron's book and
That's right.
You know, accounting through zoology. And I, so, you know, I must have, and I'm assuming, and this was back when Nebraska had their kind of 3-year national championship run and they were kind of in the press a lot. And I would imagine I must have caught something somewhere about Coach Epley. And my junior year in high school, I had an elective class called sports physiology, which was unique even at the, even now, I think was very unique. And I remember my teacher told me to go to Indiana and major in kinesiology. And well, Indiana wasn't calling me. So I ended up going to James Madison University. And, you know, my
played linebacker there, right?
Yeah, I did. I played safety, then moved to linebacker. And Greg Werner was the head strength coach at the time. And he also worked with football then, my freshman year. And like my first day, I was in his office and just, hey, I want to be you. You know, how do I get your job? What do I need to do? And he told me, you know, I need to come in and volunteer. So my second semester of school, we actually had a head coaching change with football. And he brought in his own football strength coach, and his name was Jim Durning. But basically, I worked for Greg as a student assistant while I was still playing ball, and I played for Jim. So I got kind of the best of both worlds and two different coaching styles and methodologies and things. But Greg gave me my first job in the profession as a student assistant. I was making $6.91 an hour for 20 hours a week, and that was a lot of money for me back then.
No doubt. No doubt.
So, you know, I was there, and you know, pretty much every off season and summer, I was working for Greg. And when it came time to graduate, like my senior year, I sort of got a little sidetracked. Maybe I decided I wanted to own my own gym or private facility. Back then, you didn't hear a lot about private facilities, and Velocity was just starting to proliferate. Velocity had like, I think, two in Atlanta, and they were starting to just really grow.
Right.
And I always wanted to move to California. I mean, I'm from New York, and Virginia was about as far away as I could get at the time, and just basically got in a car and moved to California and kind of found a place. And I think Greg probably helped me get the job there. It was called Competitive Athlete Training Zone, and they now have franchised, and they have a number of facilities, or they did. I think they still do. And they were like a PT clinic. There was some rehab going on, and then they transitioned over into that sports performance realm. So I worked there, and I learned a lot. I worked there for about a year, and I kind of just decided, and I never thought I would, but I decided, you know, hey, I missed the collegiate setting. I want to go back into that type of realm. I probably need to be a graduate assistant. I kind of, you know, didn't even consider that as a thing. So I wasn't even considering grad school. So it took me a little while to kind of get my grades sorted out, because to be honest, I took all my major classes early. I did great in them. And then I had to go back and take all your gen ed, and I wasn't paying attention because I was worried about the weight room. So I kind of had to make sure my situation was in order, and applying for different graduate schools. And I guess just reality wasn't quite what I thought it was.
Right.
So I ended up I did one of those baseball internships actually around that time, which used to be very common.
Right.
I don't see them quite advertised as much anymore, but I did a stint with the Detroit Tigers.
Yep.
In Lakeland, Florida. And, you know, I was an intern there. I think you worked with the Royals at some point, right?
I did. First job.
So, you know, it seems like back then everybody did something like that. So yep. I learned a lot there, and I learned a lot at the first place as well. And then eventually, and I don't really know how, in Reader's Digest version, I ended up working for an energy drink company. And I'm miserable.
What company?
Energy drink.
Okay.
And in California, and I've got a pretty sweet gig. I'm making good money. I got a company car and a cell phone, and
right.
I don't have a, you know, but I hated it. And I just want to go back to school and become, you know, be a strength coach and do what I always want to do. So essentially I dropped everything, and I volunteered at USC. And that back then was Pete Carroll was the head football coach, and Chris Carlisle gave me an opportunity there. And there was a number of guys there like Jamie Yanchar on the staff. And I was very fortunate to be part of that. And, you know, with the new rules that went into effect in 2013, that wouldn't happen anymore. The five
right.
person, I would have been like the seventh person. So, you know, really, really fortunate for that kind of foot back in the door. My next stop was I became a graduate assistant at Ole Miss, and I was there, for about a year to complete my credits. I did an internship at Notre Dame. That would have been the summer of 2006. And then my first full-time job was an assistant at Sacramento State, where my friend Gary Uribe had become the head coach there, having been an assistant himself at USC, and we had worked together. So I went up to Sac State to help him kind of get started. And, you know, they basically had carved out some money for me there. And at some point it was like, you know, hey, we can't pay you anymore. I was like, oh, wow. So I ended up having I literally drove back home to New York City. And, you know, I'm 27 and I'm sleeping on the couch and I'm at my mom's place. And I ended up getting a position, an assistant position in Northern Arizona. I was not there very long because my next stop was a paid internship, was the title at the time, at Stanford University. And that's when things kind of really started to take off for me professionally and when really kind of things started to click. I was there for about 2 months and there were some changes on the staff and I got promoted to a full-time assistant right off the bat. And I was there for 3 years. I worked under Shannon Turley there. Coach Harbaugh was the head football coach. I was there for 3 of his 4 years and obviously the football team had a great deal of success.
Right.
Very fortunate to be part of that there. I worked at wrestling there as well. Then I had an opportunity to interview and become the head guy at San Jose State. So I went over there as the head football strength coach and then was there for 2 years. And then the staff went to Colorado and I was there for 3 years. And then saw the other side of the business that we all kind of talk about.
But yeah, sure.
Prepared for, and I spent some time out of work and very fortunate to be here at VMI. I've been here since June.
Man, there's a lot to dig into that. You know, I think, you know, what I like to usually do first is, you know, going through that process and being, you know, even though there was a lot of stops along the way, you were still a relatively young head strength coach when you first got your big opportunity compared to most people, you know, when you do get that opportunity from experience, I know that you often make mistakes. You know, what's been one of the biggest mistakes that you've made and kind of how you learn from it?
Well, you know, in truth, and I've actually spoke on this at national clinics and conferences, you know, kind of like my journey and lessons learned. And
right.
And really my biggest mistake, it's kind of twofold. One, it's not really focusing on the job I have and worrying about the next thing. So as I described a little bit of, you know, I got away from the profession slightly. I took a little curve into that energy drink or kind of, you know, private sector realm and trying to get back in, I always felt like I was older than I should be. For example, when I was a GA at Ole Miss, we had a full-time assistant who was younger than me. Right. So I felt like I was behind on the times.
Right.
So like, you know, I graduated from Ole Miss in 1 year. I pulled every string and trick in the book and I had a 4.0 GPA and whatever, but I was so worried about my next job that I wasn't doing my own job very well.
Right.
And that was a pattern for quite a while. You know, worrying about, you know, focus on the future and not what's right in front of me. The other thing is, I've been narrow minded. I mean, there's been times where I think I know it all.
Right.
Or I thought I knew it all. And, you know, again, it was when I got to Stanford and I credit Shannon Turley quite a bit. And, you know, he's gotten a lot of, you know, fame and accolades, obviously, for the program that he's built at Stanford over the last 10 or 11 years now, and they're well-deserved. But even from a staff and a management standpoint, I mean, he was the first one that ever sat me down and told it like it is. And you don't always react the way you maybe should, and you kind of – I really took that to heart, and it kind of hurt. You know, you put a lot of stock into what you do, and – you want to be good at what you do. And for someone to say, hey man, like you're messing up, or hey, you're not as good as you could be. And, you know, at first your reaction is a little maybe hostile or something, but then, you know, you got to really look in the mirror. And that's when I really did and realize I needed to change and I needed to improve. And that really kind of helped me. And that's when my career started to flourish.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that's something, I mean, as you know, I mean, I say all the time, make the big time where you're at, you know, that's you know, you got to focus on that first, and then what you'll find, like you're finding now, I would imagine, just like I found when I left the Cincinnati Bengals and went to Eastern Michigan, or when I first started at South Florida, when you make the big time where you're at, eventually it gets to a point in this business where you don't care what logo's on your chest. It's all about it's all about the kids, and it's all about working and focusing on them, and you can, you know, you'll find the good in everything. You know, that way for sure. But What you've gone this journeyman's route, and you ended up at Virginia Military Institute, and at VMI, obviously, there's a unique set of challenges, I would imagine, compared to the other places that you've been. It's a military school. They're going through, you know, a variety of training and highly academic or heavy academic loads and all those types of things. What are some of the challenges that you're facing and how you're addressing those?
Right. This is a very different atmosphere than anything I've ever seen. And it's a very unique place. It's a very different place. And so you can't just kind of say, well, you know, this worked for us at Stanford, or this worked at San Jose State, or wherever you've been. And, you know, you really got to look at it. I look at it like a Rubik's Cube, almost. Like, this is a unique challenge and a problem to solve. And it's, you know, as soon as you think you got like one side figured out, you look in the other side and, you know, it's checkerboard. So, one, the academic load is a little more rigorous than most schools. Most kids are taking 17, 18 credit hours. There's that. It's a military school, so there's quite a bit of physical activity in regards to whether it's physical education. Everyone has to take 8 semesters of ROTC. We do have our own VFT, Virginia Military Fitness Test, that they have to contend with, as well as each branch of ROTC has their own slightly different version of a similar test, which physiologically doesn't always match up with, you know, whatever sport it is, particularly football.
Right.
And so trying to understand the totality physically of what it is that they've gone through. So we only have a very limited amount of time in the day. Athletics almost occur roughly between 3 and 6:30. So that would be practice, that would be meeting time, that would be training, anything. So right now we're in the off season. I get the largest chunk of that time, but in season, that's difficult, you know.
Right.
And pulled a lot of different ways. They have to be in formation and march into supper by 7 p.m. So that includes time to shower, get dressed, get over that side of campus. We call campus post here, and you know, learning the lingo is another thing I've had to.
I've been in the war military. I know that. That and the freaking acronyms.
Yes, absolutely. Everything's an acronym. But so what I've had to do is, and I think, you know, it's still kind of, I'm still learning as we go here. But we've developed somewhat of a variable system that looks at, you know, we use kind of like a subjective questionnaire and almost have like a stoplight situation, red, yellow, green, and there's what we're going to do today, but then there's, well, how do you feel today? What have you done today? I've had kids come to me all season long, and I'm still learning as we go during the football season. You know, hey, coach, I just ran 3 miles today. Hey, coach, I had this today. And then the freshmen on top of that, they call them rats here for the first about 7 months. And it's a rite of passage and initiation, you know, call it what you will, but sometimes they get woken up at 5:30 in the morning and they have what they call a sweat party. And it's like a 15-minute physical, you know, but you can't go back to sleep after that. Or
right.
Sometimes that sweat party occurs at 11:30 at night. Or so sleep is a challenge. Getting meals, especially for the young guys, is a challenge because, you know, the class system, again, they're the low-hanging fruit. They're always
right.
Kind of going to get, you know, something. Someone's always eyeballing them. Going to, you know, hey, do push-up, do 20 push-ups for me now. And they have to do it, and they have to strain like a lot of kind of tall posture with the neck whenever they're in barracks. And so a lot of physical challenges and stuff like that. So I got to account for that, because at the end of the day, you know, our job is to induce stress. But very easily, if I don't account for whatever else is going on, which I'm never going to change. You know,
right.
It's been around 1839. they're not going to change for me. They never
no
will.
Doubt.
And so I have to adjust, and I have to do right by the kids. And I think that once I kind of got that piece of the puzzle solved, we've really seen some huge gains this offseason. I think, one, the kids appreciate the fact that I'm looking out for their best interest, and they see it. And it's not just like, well, you know, I'm demanding this out of them, you know, because if I might write the best program in the world, and if today, I don't know, we're going to do a 3x3 at 85%, but if you're completely thrashed, that 85% might be 95%, might be 97%, and you might gut it out, and I can yell at you, and you'll do it, but somewhere you're going to break.
Right.
So that it's worked well so far. I, by no means is it a finished product. By no means do I have all the answers yet, but I'm learning as I go, and I think the kids appreciate the fact, and they see the fact that I'm willing to, you know, adjust and work and learn and grow, and I think, you know, they see me around at various events on campus, and I'm really trying to build relationships with these kids, because I really think that's a great piece.
No doubt. I think that's one thing as strength coaches, we always, you know, so much of strength and conditioning is philosophically based. You know, you kind of identify with high intensity or, you know, Olympic lifting or elite fitness or whatever, you want to say. And you disregard some of the other styles or some of the other methods. And, you know, when you find yourself going through different places, you know, especially when you get to a place like this where it's really confined and determined and a lot of external factors affecting the internal training, you find yourself doing some things maybe you didn't think you would do at some point.
Right.
You know, and right. What does a typical, I mean, you know, there's you said off season, but there's probably really not a true off season in that setting. What's a typical training phase look like for you? Are you able to get a 4-day split in? Is it a 3-day split? Is it, you know, total bodies every day? What are you doing?
So we currently, and this is strictly with football. Now that is who I work with on a hands-on basis, because everything occurs at the same time. We have two facilities. I have a full-time assistant who basically handles all the other sports, and it's a much larger facility over there that can accommodate multiple teams. But we have a football facility. That's kind of where I'm located, and I'm hands-on with the football program. And so speaking for them, I don't get to train them on Fridays. There's various things in the schedule that I don't get them on Fridays. So unless they're in season, if they're in season and we had a Friday practice or a travel, then we get that. But when we're technically out of season, which football is currently, I don't get Fridays. So we're working on a 4-day, Monday through Thursday. And I guess if you had to put a name on it, we're kind of like a daily undulating, where Mondays and Thursdays are our big, heavy, high CNS days, or heavy strength days, if you will. And it's total body lifts throughout. And then the other 2 days are lower, more strength endurance hypertrophy type days. I kind of use Wednesday to kind of ramp up for Thursday a little bit. Thursday compared to Monday might be a little higher, assuming, knowing that they have 3 days off. But that's not always the case.
Right.
Friday, they might have some sort of physical activity. Right. If we can get Friday back, like if we are not even close to 8 hours, we're not even close from a compliance standpoint. So if I can ever steal back any time on a Friday and they have a free class period, or you know, basically at 11 o'clock on Friday, they call it PTT time, physical training time, and that typically goes to ROTC. But with our older guys, you're not obligated to military duty when you graduate from here. Many cadets choose to commission, and then it would be just like, you know, the Naval Academy, Air Force, and so on, and they go with whatever branch of ROTC that they've been involved in. But
right.
Some kids are classified as non-com. They're not going to commission. So even though they have ROTC time, sometimes I can get that back, because really, you know, their TAC officer will just say like, all right, you know, do whatever you want.
Right.
So I'll get that time back. And what I try to do is do some like GPP-based recovery work, some aerobic stuff. And again, assuming if they are doing anything with their ROTC folks, I'm hoping it's mostly aerobic-based. So that's kind of the breakdown. Heavily influenced by I watched a great webinar by a guy named Corey Waltz, who's at Haverford College. I believe it's near Philadelphia. And he gave a great presentation on what he calls like an adjustable workout program. It's a really good webinar that I believe is available, I think, on Strength Performance Network. And I've actually spoken to Corey. And then another piece, I'm heavily influenced by Joel Jameson in terms of energy systems development, but Cal Dietz, and particularly his triphasic tactical manual, which is what I tend to model things after. Again, they kind of have to be ready for anything, even
right.
though they're not necessarily military ready, and we're not, you know, sending them out to war, and it's the stakes are not even close to as high as, you know, the men in service. But from ROTC standpoint, or from the other way that they're getting pulled, the assumption is, they're athletes, so they should be able to do anything whenever.
Right.
And we know, you know, laws of specificity and physiology, that's not the case. But if I just say whatever, forget that, when they go do those types of things, they're going to get so drained and taxed, and they're not going to be able to do what I need them to do. So I kind of have to expose them and make sure that they're kind of ready for everything.
No. Right.
Is that optimal? No. But we're gonna keep pushing that bubble, and we're gonna be good at everything.
Sure. Sure.
So that's kind of that's a typical day. And again, that occurs between 3 and 6:30. The way we do, we break it down into two groups. I have a group at 3 and a group at 4:40, and that's, you know, we kind of get it all done in that sense. From dynamic warm up on Monday and Thursday, we do dynamic warm up, some plyometrics, sprint work into the lift. So,
how do you decide who goes at what group?
I let them choose. Okay. It's worked out well. There's only one day, maybe once a month, where they have this lab that every now and then on a Thursday, I'll get a little slight imbalance where maybe I got, you know, 20 guys in one group and 50 in another, but we can accommodate. It's not, you know, we have 14 racks and platforms, and I've tried to make the rack the hub of everything.
Right.
And, you know, like anything in facility design or writing to the room and having, you know, it flow properly, having one really nice piece of equipment isn't going to do me no good if I have 50 guys that are waiting in line to use it. So
that's right.
We've tried to be very efficient and effective in what we're doing. And you know, so like, for example, we had like two lat pull down machines when I got here. I think they're great machines and they're awesome, but I had two of them. So instead, right, I got rid of them and I got 14 of the Econo Spud Econo pulleys. And now, yep, we have 14 lat pull downs on every rack that are plate loaded. So, you know, we're a lot more time efficient. Things like that.
Same thing.
That's what I've been trying to chase.
Yeah, we did the exact same thing at Eastern. You know, you talked earlier about you saw the good side of the business, but you also saw the ugly side of the business. And you've gone, you know, Colorado, James Madison, San Jose, so, you know, Sacramento, right? Stanford, VMI. I mean, you've had this, you know, journeyman career, and you know, what advice would you have for a strength coach now? I mean, if you had to go back and give young Dave Foreman some advice at the beginning of the career, what would you get? What would you tell him?
Oh, I'd probably slap young Dave Foreman in the head.
For a lot of reasons, I know, but
for a lot of reasons, you know what? You know, kind of like you said, you know, I think that's a great book there by Frosty Werling is make the big time where you're at. You know, and maybe I've been guilty of it to an extent, you know, don't chase logos. You know, now that said, if you're going to be a volunteer assistant or a volunteer intern, I mean, maybe go for something big, because most people would say no to it. So some free help. But
right.
But my, I don't want to get off topic here. But again, it's learn and be open minded and probably shut your mouth and listen. That's what I would tell myself. You know, a lot of times I was a know-it-all, and I thought I knew it all, man. I really did. And then it's when you really kind of reflect and look back and you have that kind of introspective moment and you realize, like, man, there's a whole other side to this thing in terms of relationships with kids that I couldn't even quantify,
right,
whether or not I could do that well or not. And, you know, I firmly believe this, that I was so obsessed about program, writing the best program. And I'd obsess about the numbers and the percentages and everything had to be, the minutia of it had to be perfect. If a kid doesn't believe in it, and if they don't work hard and give you great effort, it doesn't matter.
Great.
And you can write, I always say this, if I said that climbing trees was the best thing in the world, and I got the kids to believe that climbing trees was the best thing in the world, and they climb the heck out of some trees, we're going to get better.
Right.
So, really just be a lot more open-minded. You know, I've been certainly be guilty of that.
Absolutely. What's the best piece of coaching advice you ever received?
I got this quote I write on my wall, and it's the context might not make any sense. At Stanford, we had these cubicles that were kind of dropped down on us, and they were right. And I sat in the first cubicle there, and right next to it was the cardio equipment. And we had an intern who was working for us, and I really don't think he was super interested in the strength profession. It was kind of like his own foot in the door, and he's not in the profession, but in athletics. But he was sitting there kind of talking to me a little bit, and he's drinking his coffee and yawning, and DJ Durkin was our special teams coordinator at the time, and DJ is now the head football coach at University of Maryland.
Yeah.
I love DJ. He's a fired up guy. And he barked at this intern, and he said, "Wake up! You know, they're only going to be as fast as you look." And I think I hear that every day in my head. And again, it's, you know, you got to bring it. You can't expect them to give great effort if you're sleepwalking through the thing. And another thing that always I hear in my head that Chris Carlisle said to me, like, my third day there, and, you know, I'm an intern and I don't know anything, and I'm standing there, and you know, I remember I was wearing a generic black t-shirt with no logo and khaki pants, and, you know, I wasn't given really any responsibility, and obviously I'm not going to do things I'm not told, but I'm standing with my hands in my pockets.
Right.
And he walked by very casually, and he said, "You can't coach with your hands in your pockets." And those two things I hear every single day, especially when we're getting ready to go out onto the floor, and it's go time when at 3 o'clock or whatever time your first group starts. I mean, it's go time, and it's somewhat, you know, me personally, I'm a fairly introverted guy. You know, I like to be in my own headspace, and I'm not very social. I don't really go out much and hang out. Obviously, you know, I spend time with my family, and I have friends, and I don't mind talking to people, but it's draining. It's right. Draining, and looking at personal, you know, traits and inventories about personality tests. I'm an introvert,
right.
but at 3 o'clock it's go time, and you kind of got to get up for that. So those are the two things that I always think in my head. Those two sentences.
I've used the coach in your hands. I gotta use the only going to be as fast as you look.
Only going to go as fast as you look.
What about a book, app, website recommendation?
Ron, your book is incredible, man.
Appreciate
and
that,
I've told you this, and young Dave Foreman needed that book 15 years ago. And I was really excited when it came out. It's recommended reading for everyone I speak to. It's required reading for my interns. I mean, I ate that thing up in a day. And honestly, that would have changed a lot of, you know, mistakes I'd made. And
I appreciate that.
I'm looking forward right now to Brett Bartholomew's book that comes out here any day now. I got to know Brett. And you know what? I want to thank you for something else. In San Antonio about a year ago, you invited me to a dinner.
Yeah.
And it was a all-star team, man. And when I think about those guys and all these guys that I've gotten to meet through there, it was Gary Schofield. It was Fred Eves. It was, I believe, Adam Feit was there.
Yeah.
Brett Bartholomew. I'm blanking here. Oh boy. Yourself, of course, the folks from Train Heroic put it on. It was awesome. I follow those guys on social media. I think they are fantastic people. I was very fortunate to be part of that, and thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely, bro.
I felt like I was the weak link in that chain.
No, man. Not at all. That was a good group, though. That was a good night.
I'm looking forward to Brett's book. I'm looking forward to that. It should be here any day now.
Yeah, Conscious Coaching. I think it comes out, the 11th. I contributed a little bit to that and honored to do so. It's some good stuff. I've read it already. And I think it's going to change a lot of the way people look at just their athletes that they deal with. But what about an app and a website?
You know, I mentioned it. You know, I was living in Boulder at the time, and I was very close to their headquarters, and we use it here. Is Train Heroic. I think that it's fantastic.
I agree.
We implemented it here, and I think the whole entire athletic department has really embraced it. We're still, you know, we're still kind of in our infancy in terms of the total magnitude of it. I think it's very applicable when folks are off campus or off site, and in the summer here, again, being a military school, not many guys are going to stick around.
Right.
So, you know, in the summer, I have to remain in contact. I have to push program out to them, and I really like the interactive nature of it. And even, you know, from a green standpoint, we've gone paperless, which I'm sure someone in the office supply budget is loving me, because you know, I would go through paper like crazy. Website, you know, who's a great young coach who I really pay attention to and follow is a friend of mine named Matt Van Dyke, and he's got a website called Van Dyke Strength. You know, he's got a blog and different articles on there. He's currently at Denver University, and I met Matt many years ago, and I was kind of trying to solve this problem that was presented to me. You know, I had some coaches wanted kind of me to do one thing, and we had some physiology influence, and I was really trying to wrap my head around, okay, how do I implement this in a program? And he was a GA at St. Cloud State, and he got up there and had a 50-minute presentation and completely killed it and blew me away. And I've just, you know, really gotten to know him over the couple of years, he's a real smart guy.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think you mentioned the ASCA off camera as well, which is another
thing. Sure, yeah. You know, that's another, you know, we go to like the CSCCA convention, and I think as part of that, you get like maybe like a 2 or 3 month you know, trial membership. And I think people should explore that. You know, Dan Baker, the very first podcast on that website is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy that spoke on velocity-based training for like an hour and a half. And in the United States, when you think velocity-based training, you think Brian Mann.
Yep.
Right? I mean, yeah. Everyone knows Brian Mann. And I'm not knocking Brian Mann, but he didn't even mention Brian Mann in an hour and a half. And I was blown away. He cited all this research that from Spain that I'd never quite got my hands on. And those numbers are spot on. And I really appreciate kind of the approach, that the high performance approach. And I think they put out some really good content over there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The ASC, I believe their website is strengthandconditioning.org.
Yeah.
And it's a nice addendum to, you know, whatever professional organization if people follow, you know, NSCA or CSCCA. But it might be an untapped resource for some folks.
Well, I agree. I spoke at their conference last year and have worked with them on a number of occasions now since, and just first class organization, first class people. But also, I think it's important as strength coaches that we have this global approach to things and not just that domestic or narrow-sided type of one way to do everything. And that's what I appreciate most about you, Dave. I mean, you mentioned it several times, everything from, you know, here you are, the head strength coach at Colorado, and you're reaching out to a GA at St. Cloud State to understand something. There's not that sense of pride where you're not going to hide behind pride to go get your questions answered. And I think that's something that is noble. And I think it's something that other coaches, as coaches, you know, we want to be this, have this bravado and be out there and be in front of the group. But the reality is that I don't care where the answer comes from as long as I get the answer, you know. And right. I know that's, you share that same sentiment. And so I just really appreciate you coming on, you sharing that, sharing your journey and being a part of things. I appreciate the friendship, man.
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate you, man. I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate the things you do for the profession. Like I said, your book is pure gold. I wish I had that thing 15 years ago. You know, you go back, talk about all the mistakes I made. Even from a management standpoint, you know, that was another thing is, and that's a whole great section of your book. You know, every assistant, I think for the most part, wants to be the head guy, right? I mean, we all are high achieving type folks, and we all maybe have, things that we want to implement or try or do, or maybe you work at a place and you say, I don't like this and I'm not going to do it this way. I'm going to do it this way when I'm in charge. Well, when you're in charge, that's great. You're writing the program and so on, but also, you're in charge of a staff. Right. You're the face of the department. You have to deal with administration. And a lot of times, even if you had a solid exercise science, kinesiology, graduate level background, we're not always prepared for those type of things. And I failed miserably in my management attempts. I did. I really did. And that was not my strong suit at all. And I really had to kind of, you know, I mean, I was up to here sometimes swimming. And so, again, thank you.
Yeah, me too. That's why I was on a quest to get some knowledge. Ask questions, right? Well, bro, I appreciate you being on the show, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ron. Take care.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.